my soul. I'm going to read two verses in Matthew 7, and then I'm going to read a couple of verses or three in Luke chapter 13. Same passage, same reference. Jesus said these words in verse number 13 of Matthew's gospel, verse number 13, chapter 7, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." Verse 14, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Are you in that many that's on the broad road that leads to destruction? Or are you in that few that is on the narrow road that leads to life eternal? Luke chapter 13, in verse number 23. "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye began to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. He shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." No sadder commentary in all the Bible than that right there. If you miss heaven, you miss it all. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'll help us now in these few moments that we have together, that, Lord, you would direct our thoughts, and that we'd say nothing more, God, nothing more, nothing less than, Lord, that which, God, you would have us to say in the service this morning. Thank you for already speaking. Thank you for already working. Honor your word, honor your son, Jesus. Let us help us to honor you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You be seated. I want to preach this morning for a few minutes on the straight gate and the narrow way. The straight gate and the narrow way. I'm convinced this morning that sinners really don't want the flames of hell, but neither do they want to follow him. I'm convinced that sinners this morning would like to have some of the benefits of salvation, but they don't want the boss of salvation. Amen. Sinners this morning would like to have the narrow way ending while keeping the broad way living. The Lord spoke to my heart about that statement yesterday, traveling up the road. How many sinners would like to have the narrow road ending? It leads to life eternal. They'd like to have that. They'd like to know that heaven awaits them at their last breath. They'd like to know that they'll be in heaven forever. Amen. But they don't want to get off the broad road. And I want to say it again this morning, that the broad road will never wind up in heaven. Because the Bible said the broad road leads to destruction. Oh yes, if you're wanting to go to heaven, you better make sure you're on the right path. And there's only one path that leads to life eternal. And there's only one path that leads to destruction. And everybody in this building and everybody under the sound of my voice, everybody on planet Earth today, tomorrow, and the next, are in on one or the other of those paths. Amen. There's not three categories. There's only two. Saved or lost. Those on the broad road that's headed for hell, and those that are on the narrow road that's headed for heaven. Which road are you on? Well, it's easy to identify what road you're on by what gate did you get in. Tell me about when you got in. You can't be on the right road and come through the wrong gate. Amen. If you come through the wide gate, you're on the broad road. Amen. All roads don't lead to Rome. All roads don't lead to heaven. Amen. I know that's narrow-minded, but that's all right. Amen. I'm as narrow-minded as this King James Bible. Amen. That's how narrow-minded I am. You can measure out there. That's how broad-minded that you and I ought to be. Is it in the Bible? Amen. I know you can turn the liberals on and listen to them, and they'll tell you that they believe in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, that God's the father of us all, and that we're all His children, and we're all going to wind up in heaven one day. Well, that's not true. That sounds good. That suits well the worldview that is liberal and left-winged and not interested in the Bible. But it's just simply not true. Jesus made it very clear that those that are on the broad road are not going to heaven. They can if they'll get saved. And those that are on the narrow road are going to heaven. Amen. So, which path are you on this morning? Amen. I don't have time to deal with all of it this morning, but I simply want to labor that point a little more about that you cannot have the narrow road ended. You can't have the narrow road ending unless you're on the narrow road. And you're not on the narrow road if you haven't come through the straight gate. Jesus said in John 10, I am the door. Not a door. Jesus is not one of the multiple saviors that you can choose from. Well, I don't really believe in the Christian religion, so I'm going to believe in the Buddhist, or I'm going to believe in Confucius. I'm going to believe in one of the others. Amen. And we'll, you know, because God honors sincerity. As long as I'm sincere, then God will honor that, and I'll have entrance to heaven one day. Well, what if you're sincerely wrong? You'll never live long enough to convince Brother Silas that Hitler wasn't sincere when he killed 6 million Jews. Amen. Well, listen. But listen, you're not on the... you'll never have the narrow road ending without, of course, departing from and leaving the broad road. Hello? If you're living the broad road life, it's because you're still on the broad road. Now, I nail that tight. I preach that tight because it's tight in the Bible. Amen. If you're living a loose, broad, anything goes type of a life, you're on the broad road. Righteousness is a evidence that you have been made righteous by the grace of God. Positional righteousness is made evident by practical righteousness. Your practical righteousness is not what makes you righteous. You're righteous because you believe God, like the Bible said about Abraham, that he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. But we've so minimized practical righteousness in our day that people think that they can do whatever and live ever, however, and wind up inside the pearly gates one day. I got news for you, friend. Jesus said there is few that will find the straight gate. It's so narrow that you'll never find it by accident. It's such a narrow, straight path that you'll never trip and stumble into it. Amen. Anybody that walks through the narrow path, the straight gate, listen, you did so on purpose. Amen. Jesus said there few be that find it, indicating a search, indicating someone was looking. Amen. So I want to say that you'll not have the narrow road ending until there is a departure or a leaving of the broad road. If you're not ready to repent, you're not ready to get saved. Amen. Let's go ahead and write it down. Preacher Rackley still preaches repentance. Not as a works. I will never tell you, you've got to quit this and this and this and this and this. Then you can get saved. That is works. But I will ask questions to see if inside your heart there is the attitude of repentance. Because if there's no attitude of repentance, amen, amen, you will not turn from sin. If you still love it, you will still live it. Amen. Yes, sir. If you don't repent of sin, you will repeat sin. If you don't repent of sin, you will return to sin. Amen. I'm telling you, that broad road living is evidence that you're not on the narrow road. I say again, the narrow road ending will never be yours until there is a departing, a leaving of the broad road living. Amen. That's right. When you get saved, you die to the broad road life. Amen. I want that to be good and clear. When you get saved, you die to the broad road living. And if you don't die to the broad road living, you will die in the broad road living. Are you listening? Can I say this quickly? You can't have the narrow road ending unless you have entered in the straight gate. If there's never been a time where that happened, where you accepted Christ, where you did business with the Lord, and you, listen, you knew when you walked through the door in the church that you was leaving an atmosphere and coming into another atmosphere. Amen. When you come through the straight gate, the Lord Jesus, amen, the door of salvation, you're exiting one and entering another. When Noah entered in the ark, he was turning his back on that. That's a classic example right there. The world is on the broad road that leads to destruction. But Noah and his family turned their back on that and walked through the one and only door in the ark. Typical of Jesus. And I want to say this too as well. You'll never have the narrow road ending without the direction of the narrow road. Vance Havner said it well, and I've quoted it here before. Nobody goes to heaven walking toward hell. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, you can go to funeral after funeral after funeral after funeral. It don't matter how they've lived their life, how wicked, how ungodly, how sinful, and the preacher, amen, will get up and talk about how they're in a better place, and amen, where does that come from? That comes from a hireling. That comes from a person that's not interested in truth. That's a person that's interested in pacifying the feelings of the friends and the family. Amen. What direction are you going in this morning? You can pretty much tell, young person, about what your destiny is by the direction you're going in. How could you possibly have any hope of going toward heaven when you don't make any choices in that direction? Amen. There's a contrast, big contrast, ladies and gentlemen, between the narrow road and the broad road. And it's very visible to see that. And you can write these down and study on them when you get home. But there's a contrast of direction.
They're not parallel. Lord, give this to me this morning, Brother Mark. They're not parallel roads. It's not that you're over here on the broad road that leads to destruction, or you're over here on the narrow road that leads to life, and they're both parallel. They're not parallel. They're direct, complete opposites. One is going in a direction of hell and destruction. The other is headed for heaven and life. They're not parallel. They're opposites. They're contrast. So there's a contrast of direction. There's a contrast of dimension. One's called a broad road. Plenty of room to be loose. Plenty of room to be sinful and wicked and ungodly and secret and private in your sin. Plenty of room in the dimensions. But the one you get on when you get saved is called a narrow road. How narrow is it? Well, it's so narrow that you don't have room to turn around. It's so narrow that you don't have room to carry a bunch of baggage and sin down the road with you. Amen, that's right. Hey, when you go through the straight gate, it's so straight that you have to peel off everything that you're trusting in order to get in. Hey, that's right. Oh yes, there's a contrast of direction. There's a contrast of dimension. There's a contrast of the density of the crowd. On the broad road, the Bible said there's many. Now, how important is that? How many people live their life crowd influenced, crowd controlled? Amen. That's why so many young people will never surrender their life to the Lord and live for God. Why? It's not popular. All the kids at Cherokee and at Volunteer are not doing it. Amen. Are you listening? They're interested in drugs. They're interested in fornicating. They're interested in immodesty. They're interested in drinking. They're interested in making meth and popping pills and such as that. Amen. The broad road. Amen. Right. Amen. Jesus, when he was on earth, friend, he didn't have a crowd. Right. That crowd wasn't interested in him. They wanted him to feed them when they were hungry, heal them when they were sick, clothe them when they were naked. Amen. But they didn't want a boss. They didn't want a Lord. They didn't want a master. And I'm telling you, that's where a lot of people are today that go to church. They claim to be saved, but Jesus has very little to any rule in their life. And if Jesus Christ is the door, and he is, you might ought to get to know him. Amen. It's a contrast in direction, dimension, density. Also a contrast in dividends. Man, we could preach right there all morning. Amen. Dividends. And one dividends is the next contrast. It's a contrast of destiny. One's ending up in destruction. The other ending up in life. Now, I want to say also, from a practical standpoint, there's a contrast of detection. You can detect who's on the broad road as well as you can detect who's on the narrow road. Right. Amen. There'll be evidence of that. There will be fruit that would imply that. Amen. I'm not going to deal with everything this morning, but I want to give you two or three things, and I really want to hone in on the last one the Lord gave me, even while the service has been going on this morning. There is in our text, both passages of Scripture, there is the invitation of entering in at the straight gate. Matthew's gospel says there, out of the mouth of Jesus, said in verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." Okay? Luke's account says, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate." There's an invitation. I wrote this down this morning in Luke chapter 13, when he says in verse 24, I just read it to you, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate." And then he comes in verse 25 and he talks about when that gate gets closed. "When once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut to the door, ye begin to stand without and to what? And to knock at the door, saying," oh, listen, this is going to be good now. This is a good little nugget right here for somebody that's lost. "And hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock
at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Now here's the little thought that the Lord spoke to my heart about earlier. Brother Fultz, you don't have to knock when it's open. I made me a little note right there and drew a line. The knocking comes after the door has been closed. When it's standing open, there is an open invitation for you to come, for you to enter in. You don't have to knock. Amen. You don't have to go to an altar and spend an hour and a half begging, trying to talk God into saving you. He's already told you, enter in. Meaning what? The door's open. I'm convinced, Brother Krutschko, that the reason people are not saved, they don't want it. The reason people, Brother Craddock, has not gone through the straight gate is not because it's closed, and not because they don't need it. It's because they don't want it. They like the broad road. They like the broad road life. They want to keep choosing the broad road habits and amen and pleasures. You don't have to knock. There's an invitation. I'm talking about the invitation. The invitation of the straight, of entering the straight gate. You don't have to knock. It's open. But there's an implication here as well. What is it, preacher? Is if you keep procrastinating and you keep treating salvation as a toy, there's going to come a time that that open door of invitation will become a closed door of exclusion. That you won't be able. The Bible said there many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Let me read this to you. I seen that this morning. I thought, you know, the Calvinists, and I'm not a Calvinist, not even a cousin to one, but listen. Verse 24 says, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Don't stop reading. If you stop reading right there, you'll think, uh-oh, there's some excluded people. There are some people right there that's excluded, but you must read on. When does that exclusion take place? When is that take place that you'll not be able? Let me just read it and I'll just read straight on through, okay? Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut the door. That not being able to enter in is when the master has shut the door. Right now, though, the door's open. Amen. The door's open. The invitation's there. Amen. If we're not careful, now listen, I still believe, and I preach it. Brother, the Bible says it and teaches it. I don't believe nobody gets saved apart from conviction.
Right.
I believe that. Right. But I don't know but what we have not preached the experience of conviction to the point that sinners may be listening to us talk about the experience of conviction, and they'll say, well, I didn't do that, or I didn't feel that.
Right.
Well, let's just say, Brother Jackie, I get up and talk about my conviction experience, and by the way, it will be an experience.
Right.
You get under Holy Ghost conviction, and God the Holy Spirit showing you you're guilty of being a sinner and a transgressor of God's law, I promise you that's not a pleasant experience. But let's just say I get up and talk about mine, Brother Jackie, and talk about how that, you know, and I'm just going to say some things. Say, for instance, I get up and talk about, you know, that I cried for 3 days. And then you say, well, I didn't cry at all. If we're not careful, Brother Mike, we will get in our mind what we think conviction looks like. What does conviction look like? I've seen people cry a bucket of tears and said they got saved and never even come back to church. So evidently they must not have been under conviction.
Right.
I've seen people that I didn't think got it because there wasn't really no outward show of evidence of conviction that ended up going on serving God.
Right.
So there's people that I thought got it, didn't, and those that I thought didn't, did. And so I don't know, amen? All I know is that if we're not careful, we'll preach conviction so strongly that people will think that you've got to, amen, just about be knocked over in the head with the Holy Spirit before you can get saved. I want to tell you, praise God, under the authority of that King James Bible on that pulpit, the door is open, and God's already told you, enter in. God's already told you to enter in. So there's the invitation of entering in. There's the implication of entering in, to the point that if you don't do it, a day will come, a time will come when His Spirit will not strive with you, and the door will shut on you. And one of the places that happens, friend, is if you die without Jesus. If you physically, right here, listen, and we've had one to die since I've been here in the service. You don't have to be in a hospital to die. You don't have to be sick to die. You don't even have to know you're headed that way. Guarantee if you'd ask Brother Biddle, if you could ask him tonight, Wednesday night, Brother Biddle, when you preached that last message on the defense of the gospel and you went and laid down, did you think you was going to leave? Ready? Yes. Wanting to? Yes. Had more on the other side than on this side. Excited about going to heaven. Didn't even know he was going that quick. They said he spent all day talking about how he missed his wife and looking forward to seeing Sister Biddle, and he didn't know he was fixing to check out. Amen. Woo, amen. Oh, you know the door will shut on you for sure when you die physically and you're not saved. There are no second chances after death. It don't matter what the movies and the book says on Left Behind. There's no, listen, if you die, your destiny is definite. Amen. Whether you go to heaven or hell is determined now. So the door definitely will close on you if you die without getting saved. Boy, wouldn't that be a tragedy today, brother, sisters? Wouldn't that be a tragedy? Somebody call us up today and say, you know, so-and-so was in the service this morning and they're not saved. They was in a bad car wreck, or they had a heart attack, or this happened or that happened, and they're not expected to live, or else they've already died. And wouldn't that be sad to know that they had a chance, they had time after time, opportunity after opportunity? I want to thunder it again. I want you to get it, please, dear sinner friend. God's Word, not me, not Preacher Rackley, not RBT. God's Word says to you, enter in to the straight gate. And He wouldn't tell you to do it if you couldn't do it. Well, I don't know if I'm under conviction enough. Do you know you're lost? Did you know enough? Do you know Jesus died for you, paid the sin debt for you? Did you know enough? Do you know, dear friend, that you can't save yourself? Do you know that you can't do anything, works or religious deeds, to save yourself? Do you know that? Then you know enough. Enter in. Enter in. Enter in at the straight gate. You have the authority. Oh, I feel something on that. You have the authority as a sinner to come to the altar, amen, and say, God, You told me to enter in. I am here to enter in. I'm getting saved. I'm getting off the broad road. And based upon the authority of the Word of God, as spoken from a God that cannot lie, you will get saved. So you know the door will close on you when there's physical death. You know the door will close on you when Jesus comes. If Jesus comes today and you're not saved, you will be left here. And you've heard enough gospel this morning in the service already to hold you accountable for your eternal destiny. Amen. So I'll get saved later. And there are going to be people get saved in the tribulation period, but it won't be you. How can you say that with such authority? Because you've heard the gospel this morning.
Amen.
Amen. How are you listening? If you've heard the gospel, you're accountable. If you've heard the gospel and you've been told this morning, faith, praise God, that's good news. You've been told this morning, enter in. The invitation's there.
But don't forget the implication that's there as well. God will shut the door one day. And watch this. This got big to me as I was reading it again. Just coming up the road yesterday, amen. God's helped me to where I can read and drive too, amen. I'm not going to tell you how all that happens, but anyway. Look at this right here. Man, this got big to me. This got big to me. It never really stuck out to me. Where it said, strive to enter in at the straight gate, and many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able, when once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye began. Notice that. Ye began to stand without and to knock at the door. They didn't have nothing to do with the door. Wasn't interested in the door when it was open. But when it was closed, the Bible said they began to stand without. That is, they hung around that place. They spent a lot of time around that place, right, hoping that a door will open again when it didn't, and it wouldn't. And regretting that they never took advantage of the door when it was open. So there's the invitation, there's the implication, and I'm going to skip through and I'm just going to deal with some things here. Actually, there is the imperative of entering. When he said enter in at the straight gate, that word enter in is in the imperative mood, which expresses a command. He's not giving a suggestion. He's telling you to do it. He's telling you to do it. Enter in at the straight gate. So there is the imperative. But here's what I want to close with this morning. The interference, Lord showed to me sitting right up here. The interference. The word strive there in Luke 13, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Samuel, I want to use you just a second, if you will. I want to illustrate. Let me give you the definition. Just stand right here, Brother Samuel. Just stand right there. Let me give you the definition of that word. Listen to what that word means. The word strive. I'm talking about the interference. We're going to close with this point right here. The interference. The word strive means to struggle, to contend with an adversary. To contend with an adversary, to fight, to contend for a prize. You know what that means right there? Strive, to struggle, to contend with an adversary. Brother Fultz, you know what that's implying? That you getting saved has got opposition. You entering in the straight gate is not going to be a walk through the rose garden. It's not just going to be an easy path. You think it's going to be easy for you to leave your seat and walk down the aisle and saying, God, I'm leaving the broad road. I'm leaving the path to destruction. I'm going to enter the narrow path. I'm going to go toward life eternal on the narrow path. You think that's going to be easy? No. Let's just say, Brother Samuel, right here. Let's stand back up right here. Let's just say Samuel's the one that's wanting to get saved. And Brother Samuel knows that he wants to get to the altar. But you know what? He's trying to go to the altar, Samuel. Try to go. I mean, you're really wanting to get saved now. Try to go. Make more effort. I mean, you don't want to go to hell, Samuel, right? You're wanting to get saved. You see that? That's what the devil does. Amen. You try. I want to get saved. I want to get off the broad road. I want to get on the narrow road. But it's going to be with the contention. It's going to be with an adversary. An adversary said, no, you're not getting saved. Here's some of the things he'll tell you. You're not getting saved. Look at all of the fun you're going to miss out on. Look at all the friends you're going to lose. Look at all of this that's going on in your life. You're wanting to get saved. But there's interference. Here's my last thought now. I want to ask you something, you that are lost. Just how badly do you want to get saved? You even notice Samuel. He pushed and he pushed. Did you see him? Y'all were watching. He pushed and he pushed and he moved over and he tried this angle and that angle.
But you notice what happened, Brother Kruchko?
Yeah.
He quit.
Right. That's good.
Thank you, Samuel. Let me see.
Good, good.
How easy is it? Oh, Lord, have mercy. How easy is it, Brother Barry? How easy is it going to be for sinners to give up? You think it's going to be easy for you to get saved? You think the devil's going to turn loose of you and say, okay, I give up. Go on and serve God. Go on and live for God. No, he's going to push and he's going to try to stand between you and the straight gate. But God said strive to enter in at the straight gate.
Amen.
Hey. Brother Samuel, come back up here. Oh, Lord just wants me to do something. Brother Tim, come here. You stand right there. You're going to be, you're playing that same part again, all right? You're the sinner that's going to want to get saved, all right? And Brother Tim, you're going to be what I was a minute ago. You, for sake of illustration, you're going to be the one that's interfering, okay? Just, you don't have to try to get around. Just show that again. You're wanting to get saved, but there's an interference. Go ahead. Now try to go through them, all right? There's interference, all right? You see that happening? You know what Samuel needs? Samuel needs help, amen. Samuel needs help, amen. That's what happens, amen. There's an interference, amen, that's bigger than you are. The devil don't wear out. He won't give up. Oh, mercy, I feel something on that. He won't give up. He won't just say, all right, okay, I quit. Go ahead and get saved. Go ahead and get out of my army. Go ahead and quit serving my cause. I quit. I'm tired. No, the devil won't wear out. I tell you what you need. If you'll strive and contend and fight, I want to get saved. I want to get saved. I don't want to miss heaven. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I'll tell you, there's a point that the sweet Holy Ghost of God will come along and help you. Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah.
I believe this. The way that's worded right there, that if you want to enter in, even though there's interference, even though there is interference, that interference cannot keep you from getting saved. Thank you, sir.
Hallelujah.
Are you on in this morning? You can get in. Door's open. You don't even have to come down here and knock. All you have to do is do it. Deal with the interference. Oh, Lord, help us. Oh, I saw something right there. You'll deal with the interference. God's already dealt with the entrance.
Amen.
Amen. Woo! God's already dealt with the entrance. Amen. It's open. And it used to be closed. In the Old Testament economy, it was closed to Gentiles. We were rejects. We were outcasts. We were dogs. Jesus came, hallelujah for the Lord. Jesus came, amen, and dealt with the blockage, dealt with the closed door. Now we, as Gentiles, have an open invitation. Thank God to be believers. And when we become a believer, we are counted as the seed of Abraham. We benefit from his covenant. Amen, glory to God. Amen. Oh, I look around. Amen. I thought I was going to dismiss. It's getting good. I look around. I mean, just scan the congregation and some of you by your own testimony. You used to be back there in sin, and if people looked at you, Brother J.R., they probably looked at you and said, no hope. Too much interference. Too much interference. Didn't have the godly heritage. Didn't have the godly exposure. Right. Amen, Brother Fultz. Somebody told me the other day, you and your brothers love to fight, mean as a devil. Amen. I said, that's probably right. They said they were fighters. They loved it. Amen. Mean. Said, don't tell him I said so. But I did while I was preaching. Amen. But look at you now. You know, listen, the devil said, oh, Bobby Fultz is not going to get saved. Too much interference. Amen. Mmm. Hey, and I scan the congregation, and we could use this and that, and you and me, and we could use examples. Hey, look like you weren't going to get in, Sister June. I've heard your testimony. Hey, look like you weren't going to get in. The devil said, I've got her shut out. I've got her shut out. She's not going to get in. Oh, I want to tell you, somebody prayed. She got exposed to the gospel. She got exposed to the light of the Word of God. Amen. And got gloriously saved by the grace of God. Do you want to get saved this morning? I'm putting you on the spot, praise God. Do you want to get saved this morning? Not you thinking about it. Not as you're thinking about it. Do you want it? Do you want to get saved this morning? God's word says enter in. Well, I don't feel all this big pressure. Amen. Come here, Brother Samuel. I ain't done with you. I like to preach when I can see it. If I can't see it, it's difficult. Come over here. You know how that Samuel can know? Oh, this is good. You know how Samuel know that he can get saved this morning by this illustration? By the opposition. Not by this right here. Not that there's God's behind him and, okay, you need to go get saved. You need to get saved. No, he knows. Listen, you know this morning you may not be feeling that big push, amen, to get saved. You might not even be feeling a big pull to get saved. But do you feel the opposition? Do you feel the pressure? Do you feel the interference that says, oh, if I can just get out of here, I'll make it to my car. I'll escape this. No! Why do you think there's opposition and pressure of fighting you and interfering? The devil don't want you to get saved. Thank you. The devil wants to take as many to hell with him as he can.
That's true.
Hey, and nobody is worth going to hell over. Nobody. Nobody. Girlfriend, boyfriend, family. Nobody's worth going to hell over. Oh, I get saved preaching, but they'll leave me. Is that worth going to hell over? I'm glad that God dealt with me that night that I got saved, Brother Tim. I'm glad he dealt with me the way he did that night. And I didn't sit there on the pew and contemplate it and weigh it out and look at it from every angle, because the devil would have probably cheated me, Brother Bob, because sitting beside of me was a girl I was engaged to. Weren't interested a bit more getting serving God, living for Jesus, because I wasn't. She didn't fall in love with a holy man. She fell in love with a sinner. Are you listening? I'm glad the Lord dealt with me, Miss Debbie, the way he did. I didn't sit there and think, now if I get saved, she's gone. No, it happened, buddy. I'm telling you, God just so got a hold of me. Listen, everybody looking right over here, God had such a grip on my life that night, on that pew with the preached word of God, like some of you are right now. It was just like this right here. God, it was just like God put blindfolders of, amen, I couldn't see nothing but except the fact God's dealing with me. I'm lost. I'm one breath from hell. I need to get saved by the grace of God. And I've done business with the Lord. And thank God I did. Amen. Do you want to get saved this morning? You can. Hallelujah. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, my soul, God, to turn you away, it would make him a liar. And he's not a liar. You can be saved by the grace of God. Oh, Lord, help us. But right now, Brother Trav, you don't have to knock. But if you wait till the door closes, even knocking won't do any good. You can get saved this morning if you will. Let's all stand to our feet.